A key link in the chain of world trade makes a sudden shift toward China. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's news that Panama, which controls that key piece of infrastructure, the canal, has abruptly cut ties with Taiwan and embraced mainland China. Panama did not explain its move, which will delight officials in Beijing, who've been ramping up pressure on Taiwan, itself an economic powerhouse. Let's bring in Cindy Su, Taiwan correspondent for our partner broadcaster, the BBC. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
The Taiwanese feel let down by Panama's decision?
Well, that's putting it lightly. This has been a major blow for the government, the administration of Taiwan. And not only because it's losing one of its few diplomatic allies, it only has 20 now after losing Panama, but also because Panama is one of the most important. You know, the Panama Canal is a very important trade route.
At a wider level, Panama, the canal zone at least, used to be an actual piece of the United States. Some will see this shift by Panama as a move away from the U.S. political and economic orbit and toward mainland China.
Well, it could be for a couple of main reasons. For Panama, it would be economic reasons. I mean, China is a huge economic powerhouse, and China has wanted to invest in Panama's ports. And so there are a lot of economic incentives for Panama. And we have heard from analysts that Panama has actually been looking for the right opportunity, the right timing to switch diplomatic ties. I mean, it's very hard for an economy like Taiwan, which is, I think, ranking among number 18 in the world, to compete with China, which is number 2 in the world. It's a much bigger economy with a lot more opportunities for trade.
Speaking from Taipei, the BBC's Cindy Su. Ms. Su, thank you.
It's always a pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE index in London is up by about 0.1%. After a down day, stock index futures this morning pointing up. The NASDAQ and S&P futures up about 0.2% each. Over the weekend, the Gymboree Kids clothing chain filed for a Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The retailer will close about 400 of its 1,300 stores and try to restructure debt to stay in business. Gymboree believes it got on the wrong side of the shift toward online retailing, but some of its competitors have done a better job surfing these turbulent waters, Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Gymboree hasn't posted an annual profit since it was bought out by private equity firm Bain Capital 7 years ago. The children's chain has something in common with a lot of other recently bankrupt retailers. Private firms borrowed money to buy them and then loaded on that debt, says retail consultant Howard Davidowitz.
These companies are put on this insane debt. They can't get the margins or anything that their competitors do. They can't create product. They can't do anything.
The company says restructuring nearly $1 billion in debt will give it flexibility to adapt. Meanwhile, competitor The Children's Place is posting revenue growth. Last year, it began closing underperforming stores and putting thousands of items on Amazon. Smart move, says Rachel Saunders with research firm The Cassandra Report.
30% of parents have an Amazon Prime membership, and convenience is just huge for them.
Bankruptcy hasn't been friendly to the retail sector. Since 2005, more than half of the retailers that filed for bankruptcy eventually closed down. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
Hi, David Brancaccio, stepping out of my anchorman role for a second. Marketplace is here because these days I think it's essential to have an independent source exploring how the economy really works, not just for the market participants or the financial geniuses, but for everyone. Your support keeps our kind of reporting coming, and it is especially vital now at the end of our fiscal year. If you could, visit marketplace.org/donate to contribute and to keep us on the beat. Thank you. Now to the business of higher education and a story about resources being spent or not spent getting outside accreditation. Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism, just outside of Chicago, has long been considered one of the best in the country. Now the school no longer feels the need to get outside confirmation of that. The school just let its accreditation lapse on purpose, WBEC's Miles Bryan explains.
Natalie Escobar is a junior at Medill. She got the news from a student at her old high school who wanted to study there too.
She emailed me showing me a Chicago Tribune article announcing that Medill was no longer going through the accreditation process. There are a lot of question marks in that email, and I had a lot of them too, to be honest.
Medill is no longer recognized by the Accrediting Council on Education in Journalism and Mass Communications. The national nonprofit group reviews J schools on a voluntary basis, usually once every 6 years.
There was a lot of initial, what does my degree mean now that I don't go to an accredited journalism school?
Still a whole lot, according to Medill Dean Brad Hamm. He says the school will be better served diverting its resources from the 18-month-long accreditation process. He points out that the University of Berkeley's Graduate School of Journalism also just decided not to get accredited and called the Accrediting Council a 1990s-era organization that resists change. Well, that's what he said in a statement to students anyway. The dean wouldn't schedule an interview. Peter Bhatia is president of the Accrediting Council.
Yes, it's time-consuming because accreditation is supposed to be rigorous. It's like respect. It's not awarded, it's earned.
Bhatia says the council is changing with the times, and accreditation assures strong fundamentals. But Bhatia says Medill is probably not going to start losing out on good students. Kelly McBride agrees. She's vice president of the Poynter Institute, a national media think tank.
Northwestern has a fabulous reputation. They put out really cool journalists who go into the field and do really cool things, and that's not going to change.
McBride says accreditation is still really helpful for a lot of J schools, especially smaller ones that don't have a big reputation. But McBride says that accreditation doesn't really matter for most journalism employers. And the student from Natalie Escobar's high school, who was spooked by Medill dropping its accreditation, she still wants to apply to the school. In Chicago, I'm Miles Bryan for Marketplace.
And NBC's Megyn Kelly is fixing to air an interview with right-wing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. Among other things, Jones doesn't believe the Sandy Hook school massacre happened the way it happened. It's a business story today because banking giant J.P. Morgan Chase is pulling all of its ads from NBC until after the interview airs on Sunday, this according to the Wall Street Journal today. Jones operates the website InfoWars. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week, Bill Lance. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.